Welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. Brought to you by TwoWayRadioCenter.com, a Motorola value-added reseller. The Church Safety Guys is a nonprofit organization dedicated to equipping the vigilant, those men and women who stand watch, keeping our houses of worship and places of faith safe. We believe church safety and security must be a ministry first, and have engaged servant leaders who continually strive for excellence and teams of motivated volunteers that are always training. Join us for the next hour as the Church Safety Guys unpack safety, security, leadership, and ministry operations with your hosts, Dr. James McGarvey and Mike Scully. This broadcast is also available on YouTube, your favorite podcast platforms, ChurchSafetyGuys.com, and on the original Church Security app. Download it today. Feel free to like, subscribe, and share with your ministry.
Well, hello. Welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. I am James. And on this broadcast, once again, joined by my co-host, Mike.
What's up, sir? Or I should say stranger, because it's I feel like it's been a while, but it has. It has been a break. So
it has been. We have we've had quite a bit going on, and from I don't know.
Thanksgiving.
Meeting in Texas to Thanksgiving, yep, to trying to catch up with stuff, to
an assessment gig that we had, to I went on a men's retreat one weekend. I had a married couples retreat another weekend. It's like, yeah, we had a lot going on.
For sure. And we're broadcasting live to YouTube. We are, and I just shared it on Facebook, but if you haven't joined us in a while, or this is your first time, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. We've had technical difficulties, I guess, and we're still trying to work some of that out because Facebook isn't loving us. But anyhow, thanks.
Getting hacked doesn't help. So
no, for sure it doesn't. I'm just going backwards here and trying to put it in all the groups so people can see we're live. But anyhow, as always, you know, you can join us at a later time. You can check us out on our YouTube channel or also on our podcast platforms. And as always, you can reach out to us through our website, which is churchsafetyguys.com. And we would love to help you if we can at all with your ministry. And you can visit some of our resources, check out some of our resources that we have there. We've got a lot going on. Some of the things we wanted to highlight and talk about a little bit tonight, and kind of go from there. But yeah, it's been pretty crazy. I went actually on vacation. I went on a cruise and ended up getting sick. Everybody was like, you really need to take a vacation. That's awesome. Take a vacation. So I took a vacation and ended up probably the sickest I've ever been.
Only you. I think it's your luck or something. You end up with sickness on vacation. I don't know.
I'm telling you, I have no luck. If I had luck, I got back. It was funny. I got back and my boss called me and he's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And you know, all this stuff, and how is everything? And I said, you know, I told him kind of what happened, and you know, I mentioned to you a little bit.
Yep.
And he's like, man, he's like, I am never traveling with you or doing anything with you. And I'm like, thanks, boss.
Right.
But I don't know. It's, to me, it's interesting. But yeah, so I ended up getting sick, and then on the mend, we went, it was kind of crazy. We went to California. We stayed in Burbank, which the weather was amazing, which was nice. But we ended up going to Disneyland and California Adventure. And so we're sitting on, this is my crazy story for the night. We're sitting on the Haunted Mansion ride, our my family, and we're going through it. And if you've ever been on that ride, you know that you're listening, you know that at one point in time, the chairs that you ride turn around backwards so you can't see where you're going. And then everything gets black and you start going down a hill. And so the chairs turn around, we're going backwards down the hill, and I'm sitting in the cart with my youngest daughter, who is 17. And in the next cart in front of us is my wife and my son. And I hear him getting kind of a little, you know, apprehensive because the lights went out, you know, and it's dark. And he's just like, oh, when is it going to come back on? And all of a sudden the ride stops and comes to a grinding halt. And so I'm literally sitting in this this roller coaster ride, like staring up at the ceiling and, you know, kind of like this on my back. And I'm like, you know, okay, calm down. It's okay. You know, there's a staircase. You can see the staircase next to us. If they tell us to evacuate or get out, everything will be fine. And so I'm sitting there, and, you know, sometimes they have to stop a ride or shut a ride down so that they can let special needs folks off. Or if someone has, you know, a wheelchair or something like that. So it's not unusual. Well, we right. sat there with the ride shut off for probably about 10 minutes. And we're like, I'm like, okay, this isn't just letting someone off the ride with a wheelchair. This is
something's going on.
Yeah. So they start it back up. So they get us off of the ride. And so we're walking through the park and we get out and we're like, okay, we're going from the Haunted Mansion to Pirates of the Caribbean. So we walk around the corner and I notice that there's 7 or 8 Disney cast members standing outside in front of the ride, and the ride is roped off and all of the cast members are standing there. And so I walked up to one of the cast members and I said, is the ride available? And they said, no, we have it shut down for technical difficulties. And I said, okay, well, do you know when it'll be back up and running? And they said, no, we honestly don't. We're working on it. You know, we'll have it back up and running as soon as possible. So I said, okay, that's fine. You know, as a family, there's a lot of people kind of milling about. I said, let's go over here. Let's grab some food real quick, 'cause it was dinner time. And then we'll come back over and see if maybe they have it fixed or worked out. Well, as we're walking away, my son's like, hey dad, can I run up here and ask if, or check this ride real quick since we're right here. And I'm like, yeah, go for it. This is where we'll meet you. Come back here. So he comes back and I said, that was really fast. He was like trying to go on the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse, I think it was. And he said they closed the treehouse and there was a bunch of Disney cast members standing outside. And I'm like, wait a second.
What's going on?
Yeah. I'm like, the treehouse isn't a ride. Why would they have closed that? And so my son, he's like, well, I don't know, but he's like, one of the cast members was talking about an earthquake. And I'm like, what, an earthquake? So I Google it real quick and I pull it up. And sure enough, you know, if you're familiar with Southern California, Disneyland's in Anaheim. And then one of the next towns over, Fullerton, California, Fullerton had just had a 3.5 earthquake. And so, you know, a 3.5, I've been through a few earthquakes, and a 3.5, if you're not really paying attention or if you're on a ride, it's not, I mean, it can be damaging, but it's not something that you would necessarily notice right away if you weren't like standing outside and like, okay, what was that?
Yeah.
So you know, so we're like, okay. So we go back and I said, you know what, let's just grab some dinner. So we got food and we're sitting there. And of course my kids are like, when are they going to start opening the rides? And I said, well, here's the thing, you know, Disney, I'm sure, has a earthquake, you know, response policy. And yep. If something happens, you know, they, before they open the rides back up and all the attractions, they have an engineer go through them and make sure nothing's unplugged or, and everything's safe and everything's running the way it should. And I said, you know, honestly, here it is a Monday night at, I think it was like 9 PM or 8 PM in the evening. I'm like, you know, they're probably not 100% full staffed at this moment for engineers. I mean, they always have an engineer in the park in case a ride goes down.
Right.
You know, so it was interesting. And, you know, how I kudos to Disney for how they handled it, because they had all of their folks trained and nobody, you know, people were leaving the park because they were upset, and you could tell they were leaving and ticked off because all the rides were shut down. But when any of the cast members were asked, everybody just responded, you know, we're having technical difficulties. I'm really sorry, but, you know, we're trying to get things back up and running. And so there wasn't, there was annoyance towards Disney, but it wasn't unsafe. And it certainly wasn't, it was handled very professionally, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I wonder if they would have just said, hey, this is like, we have earthquake protocol or something that we've enacted and et cetera, but instead to kind of talk about it as technical difficulties, that's a little odd.
Well, and it was, and I can, yeah. I mean, I can see both sides of it. I mean, if you said earthquake out there, maybe you might have folks panicking or, you know, yeah,
I suppose,
I mean,
unless they already felt it. So.
To an extent, but it was funny because I was telling my pastor about it today, and we were actually, his sermon was on Paul and Silas when the earthquake opened the prison doors. so he's preaching, right? And he's like, you know, and it was hilarious because in the passage, he says, the jailer, like slept through it, the earthquake. The earthquake happened. He got up. He thought everybody, you know, had escaped. He went to kill himself. And Paul was like, you know, the Apostle Paul was like, no, don't do that. We're all still here. We're just singing. We're praising the Lord. And so he throws me under the, it wasn't even a throw under the bus. It was a, here comes the bus. I'm driving it over James. Cause he's like, you know, he's like, the McGarveys just went to Disneyland and James was in the earthquake. But he didn't know it. He didn't know anything was going on. Like, he was using me for a sermon example. And I'm like, what is your problem? Seriously. I said, you know, and I talked to him later because we were doing a membership class together. And I said, way to roll me under the bus. And he just starts laughing. And I said, dude, you seriously, you took no, pulled no punches. I'm like, you instantly just said, well, I would have, and that's the thing. He's like, well, James didn't even feel the earthquake on the ride, but I would have, but, you know, and then he goes right on, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, this is killing me. So anyhow, but it was funny. You know, it's funny now. Then it was kind of like, you know, one of those deals.
Yep. Well, I just got back from doing an assessment on a new temporary building. My church is bursting at the seams and outgrowing our temporary space that we've been using. And so we've secured additional or new space for us that has previously been used as in some ministry capacity, but very dated, very little bit more downtown. For where we're at, so a little less country, a little less parking, so changes the whole dynamic of planning for it. So we did our secondary walkthrough today, so looking at everything from camera positions to fire extinguisher locations to locked doors and mechanicals and who's going to have access to what, and started talking evac routes, et cetera, from different parts of the building. So good, productive walk, good discussion to kind of look, and fun to kind of take a new challenge of exploring a new building and figuring out how best to address it with its own challenges. This is an older building that had been torn up and rebuilt over many times over the years. It actually was a car dealership at one point, much more city street-esque. So it doesn't look like your typical car dealership, but the guts of it inside are big old steel beams and different things in different spots. You could tell where your areas that might have been the old service bays that have now become tiled off and walled off and so forth. And you could tell based on the windows and so forth that are almost lined up like they were where there were garage doors. So yeah. It was quite an interesting retro. And so now our church is kind of doing a paint job and cleanup and fixing a whole bunch of wiring and floors that are sagging in different spots. And so it hasn't had a whole lot of TLC in a long time. So they're doing a lot of that, and we're just plotting out for the team. So today was the full team walk. So got to walk with the full safety team, kind of give them an orientation, because our first service in there will be Christmas Eve. So we're going to be in there as of that, and then we'll start our official regular services in January. But that'll probably be, I'm guessing, 12 to 18 months in that larger space. So that'll take us from roughly 250 to 300 maxing it out space now. That'll give us upwards, so we're told, of 600. So it nearly doubles our space.
Cool.
Yeah.
It would be good if hopefully you guys can get everything nailed down and ready to go for that. That's kind of a tight timeline for Christmas Eve.
Yeah, there's a lot there doing now. We may be light with cameras and other sorts of things to get started by then. I think they'll probably still be doing some of the wiring and some of the work related to that. But for the most part, I think we'll be in decent shape. I mean, it's really, there's two primary doors. So we actually have less doors than many urban churches, which is great. We have a rear door, but that'll be primarily a evac only use. So we won't have people show up. And then of the two primary doors, we've already planned out that's going to be locked as of service start. So just because it comes in too close to the front of the where the stage and stuff will be. So that'll close at service start, and then everybody will be filtered through a single set of doors to a foyer. Gives us good vantage point, good positioning, and then opportunity to at least have a kids wing. So we do have a ability to keep that separate for the most part. We do have to share bathrooms, which is unfortunate from this perspective, but this is temporary. We do have the land, and we are going to be breaking ground very soon on a full build. So, but tremendous to be able to look at it and prepare it.
For sure. For sure. I know earlier, actually today, I ended up going back over to my old church. They're in the middle of I think it's $1.3 million renovation project on the sanctuary.
Wow.
And so they basically changed up services, but they're using their fellowship hall where we had our conference as basically the main sanctuary until they finish that, which they're hoping to have done, I think, by Easter. And this is major construction. Like they have, they're taking out the stage. They have, like right now, they have a Bobcat and excavator parked in that, like, chopping up concrete and all that fun stuff.
That's a pretty high stage too. I mean, like 6-7 steps or something.
Yeah, it was high, and it was built back in the 50s, I believe. No, not 50s. I think it was finalized, that sanctuary, in the late 70s. So it's been around a while, but, but yeah, they basically, they wanted to update it and felt that was, it was time. And so they actually called me today, this morning, and they were having some feedback from some of the electronics in the safety office because the safety office was so close to the fellowship hall where they're now meeting, and they have all of this, you know, frequencies and cable and everything running. And, so I went over this morning, before our regular service, and was over there and kind of helping them troubleshoot some of that and look through stuff. And, it was interesting. I ended up going to my own church today, and they did an outreach, and this was kind of interesting. They did an outreach, outside of where we meet. Yep. And, the city that we're in actually set up an ice skating rink. And so we went out and we took hot chocolate out, as a church to give it to folks. And we had a gentleman come from that, like he had walked up, and I guess he was talking to some of the ladies handing out cups of hot chocolate. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Hey, I was looking for a church, and, I'd love to come hear, you know, a sermon from your pastor and sit through the service." So they invited him. So I'm actually sitting at, you know, we're in the service, we're in the middle of everything, and this guy walks in. Now we're in the public library, so technically anyone can walk in, and we have people, you know, that stand by the door, like first impressions, to greet and help people where they need it and stuff. But this guy walks in and nobody knows him, and he's got a backpack, and, you know, he's wearing cargo pants that are chock full of stuff.
Yep.
And all this stuff. And so my wife is actually sitting outside, like in the foyer area, and she texts me. I'm sitting like halfway up with my back to the door, with my son. And she texts me and she's like, "Hey, somebody just walked in and I don't recognize him." So I got up and I walked around to the back and, kind of stood up and stretched and watched him for, and it turned out he was a nice guy, and I guess he comes to the library every Sunday to study, and he was legitimately trying to find a new church, and he might be back and everything. And it was so funny because one of the other guys, the first impression guy, was like, "Okay, you jumped up really quick." And I'm like, "Well, chock full cargo pants and a backpack, really?" I'm like, I'm like, "That's not really our normal thing here." I mean, I went up to the guy and I greeted him and everything, and he was friendly enough, and, you know, everything was fine. But it was one of those things that and we've been working on trying to find a building. In fact, we've got several different buildings that we have realtors right now recommending to us and saying, "Hey, check this out, like what you guys are doing," because we're trying to figure out if we need to build or try and retro, you know, an existing structure. And but it was what was interesting about it was it very much made quite a few people aware that, you know, we need to be on our toes and we need to be focused, even, you know, out in the public and community like this, because it's great to do outreach and it's great to have, you know, be open to the public and have access and people come in and stuff. But, you know, nobody seemed, and it was kind of funny because nobody seemed to object to the fact that, you know, I was close enough to the guy that if he had pulled something out of his backpack, I would have been able to grab it and stop him. But, you know, I'm not standing there like, you know, like growling at the guy or anything. I was like, "Hey, welcome, you know, welcome to our church, and how are you? And how'd you hear about us?" You know? So, but I, and that's one of the things I did want to throw out tonight for folks listening, that obviously, you know, as we get closer to the end of the year and Christmas, there's a lot of services going on, and we've talked about this often before, but, you know, Christmas typically is, I think Easter is the most, statistically, is the most visited and busiest holiday for churches, and Christmas is a close second. Yep. And so, you know, you see a lot of people that you don't know, and that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you see, you know, an anomaly to what your baseline is for, right, for, you know, folks coming and going, that needs to prompt your attention. And like in my situation today, our hospitality guy was like, well, he really wasn't a threat. And I said, well, you don't know that. I said, and I asked him, I said, how many people do you know of our team, of our church, bring in backpacks? And he's like, one. And I'm like, exactly. And that's the pastor. The pastor has a backpack, you know, for his iPad and everything else. I'm like, yep. So when somebody brings one in, that's an anomaly. That's something that we need to be focused on and we need to take seriously. But you know, so set that baseline, I guess, in that baseline. And I'll say this for folks that are listening, or maybe listening at a different time, when you have an event or you have a special holiday, you might need to adjust that baseline and understand and realize that, yes, we are going to have an increased amount of people and traffic into the building that we don't know, and that's right. Okay. So, you know, what's the next thing that we look for? What's the next step that, that we can still stay on our toes and be active with ensuring that everything stays safe and remains safe? Certainly the last thing that anybody would want to happen would be something at a church over a holiday.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a matter of the holidays bring out obviously a ton of people coming home. You get students, they've gone away to college. They're now back. You haven't seen them in months. Maybe they're partially familiar. Maybe they're not. You got a lot of folks that are traveling for different times. So those are coming in. And then, as you said, you get the creasters, the Christmas and Easter folks that only right. come in the two times a year. It's like, hey, great to have them in the pews and great to have them there. But they may not know where things are. And it's keeping in mind that, hey, not everybody's going to know where the bathroom is. And just because somebody's potentially looking around trying to find said bathroom doesn't mean they're necessarily out of place or up to no good. So I think it's a matter of, I think, a season with extra grace required is understand what those are. Obviously be aware of what that baseline is, yes. But I think it's one of those times where it's an opportunity to outreach more and really understand why are people there, because there's so many reasons why people could be there. They could be a first timer. There could be that opportunity to truly get and open the door to somebody who may be attending your church truly for the first time and not just there for the holiday. So
yeah,
the key is really just be open and understand that, hey, there's going to be a lot more people coming in and going, and heighten your awareness, dial in the extra focus. Ideally staff a little heavier if you can, if you have the luxury of that, but certainly scheduling around the holidays can be tough too, because you get team members that certainly need to take a break or are going home themselves and maybe transplants. I mean, I'm a transplant. We're not necessarily traveling this year for Christmas, but that does happen. So you could be down in numbers on your team and limited in what you could staff as well. So you work with what you got and you try to adapt for the heavier flow of traffic that you're likely to get on a Christmas type holiday.
Yeah, for sure. One of the folks that we talk to often reached out this past week, and I had a good discussion with him on I think the question that he asked is, do you ever get to the point of not being at a heightened state of awareness, or like with church safety in general, is there ever a point where you're comfortable enough and, you know, you're not worried type thing? And one of the things, and so I had a good discussion with him back and forth, and, right. the interesting thing that kind of popped into my mind, and I think it's applicable to this, especially with holidays, because I think people get stressed out in this ministry. I think people can get easily stressed out with the flow of, oh my gosh, we have extra services, extra people, all of those extras, right? And one of the verses that I mentioned and I quoted to this gentleman was 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." And I said, you know, when you're looking at this stuff, what you have to realize and come to grips with is the fact that we should never not be doing what we do. We should never not be focused on paying attention and whatnot. But there does come a point in time where, when everything is running smoothly, we're confident in the wisdom and the safety that God's provided. And right. Then it becomes, okay, we're removing the emotion out of responding to an incident. And that's right. Why, and this is what I told him. I said, you know, when you have an incident, that's why you do critical stress incident debriefing afterwards to address that emotional component and talk about it. So, you know, have meetings with your team, pull a few people together, go through stuff, outline, you know, you can do fun stuff. You can do like a Christmas party or something like that to motivate and energize your team. Right. But, you know, at the end, plan on getting everybody together and say, you know, hey, we just went through this busy season and these events and we added these services. You know, let's talk about it. What was good? What was bad? You know, do a SWOT analysis, evaluations, but walk away understanding and knowing, you know, that emotional component is important, because if we ignore it, you know, that can build up to mental health concerns. But ultimately, you know, we're not getting rid of the emotional component. I mean, it's hard when stuff happens, it's hard to respond without that. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to, again, build that baseline where we can handle and mitigate the emergencies without the drama, without that additional influencer, and take care of it to have a successful, you know, a successful Christmas season. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of good stuff there, and really try to understand not just the season at hand, but really take in the extra opportunity to collect information. I mean, you should be collecting information all year long, and now's the time. If you're not fully just prepping for your holidays, now's the time to start going back through and looking at all that extra data that you collected during the year. What does that look like? Where are you? And use that going into that SWOT analysis, use that going into the vision casting for the next year, identifying where are there gaps, identifying where there's opportunities truly to address with the team. And you may find nothing. You may find that there's a lot that you need to address. So it's really a good time to kind of make sure that you get out of that complacency of the every week that you're on, and you really wrap yourself into the mindset of the uniqueness of an event that a holiday can be, and use that as a way to collect that information. Maybe even consider stepping out of your main spot that you, if you gravitate towards one position all the time, consider if you have the strength of solid other volunteers, consider rotating. Is there an opportunity that you can get exposure to other spots and close out blind spots that you might have because of continuing to be in perhaps a singular pattern of positions for your team. So consider what that option is, and maybe you don't do it for the holiday, depending on, again, the strength of your team, but maybe you focus on that as something that you could do as a early January, as a chance to, hey, let's do some reset. Let's do some adjustments here, and then use that as a learning opportunity based on the data that you collected.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you know, we have a pocket of time this year. I think Easter is March 31st in 2024, but we do have that pocket of time where, you know, prioritize and keep yourself focused, because, you know, there isn't much of a time difference between trying to do something now versus doing it in January, except that now with all of the candlelight services and Christmas concerts and everything else that typically happen, it's easier, it's harder to get a hold of people, and it's easier to get frustrated and stressed out. So, you know, pushing something back to looking at it, like you said, or planning, you know, planning it in January is great. You know, January is a solid month with very little going on after Christmas to take a look at the policy book, you know, go through that and revisit, like you said, the data from the last year and apply it to that. Like what type of incidents did we have in the last year to be able to address that? Does the policy book address it appropriately? You know, do we have a response plan to that? Just like any other ministry, I mean, we do see an influx of people interested in safety and security at the beginning of the year, because oftentimes when, and I don't know that we've ever really talked about this too much, but the reality is, you know, just like everybody floods the the gym, you know, January 1st to work out, oftentimes you'll get a flood of folks that are like, hey, I want to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to volunteer at my church. And that's great. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. So try and captivate some of that motivation and energy, right? Yep. And maybe find some new folks. If somebody discovers your church for the first time because, you know, they're new, or maybe they visited it on a holiday, maybe they, you know, if they start attending on a regular basis, maybe ask them if they want to volunteer, you know, help them go through that process. If your church has like a membership process or program, and I mean, obviously you want to do your due diligence to onboard people accordingly, but at the same time, you know, take advantage of that influx of people and consider that, you know, this could be a good opportunity, really to see how people respond and react and look for new volunteers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to make sure that you're set up to do the right background checks and so forth for that, and understand what that looks like. That's not going to just be your security team. Again, that influx of potential volunteers could be across the entire team. So are the other teams aware of that, hey, this is a good time that you may get those folks that are interested. Sometimes it's a good time to do a ministry fair, where it's kind of science fair meets different ministries. Now, often safety and security is not one that tends to have a table at said ministry fairs, but something to think about from a standpoint of volunteers that may have even approached you in the past, but it was not a solid time to bring them on, or you were between the ability to do an onboarding of sorts with additional volunteers. So look at all those things. Again, that's part of the data that you should be collecting, part of the overall planning and readiness for your next season.
For sure. For sure. Well, shifting gears a tiny bit, I want to talk, before we run out of time too much, I want to talk about next year and some stuff that we have going on. We went back, and of course, you know, we do everything that we do. I mean, we do to support churches really around the globe now. I used to say it was just North America, and that kind of expanded this year. But the interesting thing is, you know, Mike and I don't take a paycheck. You know, we volunteer our time. Oftentimes, if we do an assessment or something like that, you know, our time will get compensated by that church. But for helping churches out, generally, we don't do that. So if you're in the middle of looking at end of year giving or something like that, you know, we would be blessed and certainly love a donation from you guys, and you can do that through our website or reach out and connect with us. There's always, like, we're always providing information and content to churches. And a lot of how we do that too is through book sales and whatnot. In fact, pretty much 100% of everything that we sell as books goes straight back into the ministry. And usually what we do is we'll purchase a number of resources and have those, and then just send them out to people as they need them. So, that's truly what, you know, when you go on to Amazon and you purchase a book or resource for your team, that's what happens to that money. That money goes back into helping other churches that maybe can't afford those resources. But that all being said, next year we're planning on, certainly our 2024 Church Security Essentials Conference. Really excited about that. That's going to be down in Austin, Texas, April 26th and 27th. Yep. A stone's throw away. You know, it's pretty crazy. We've actually added a day this time. And so you don't want to miss it. You can visit for more information. You can visit our website, churchsafetyguys.com, or specifically, you can go to churchsafetyconference.com and get information on all the speakers and topics and tickets and all that fun stuff that is open. So if you want to bring your team to that, you're welcome to do that. And we have early bird pricing until February. So definitely want to take advantage of that. This is the first time we've actually done a 2-day. We added a second day because of folks asking, honestly. Yep. There was so much stuff on one day. And now, like, Mike and I were trying to figure the schedule out and going over it, and we're like, this is a really crowded 2 days. But we've got some fantastic support from Texas folks and folks to do the conference. We've got some fantastic speakers lined up this year. You know, not an event that you want to miss. So definitely check it out. And if you're wanting to travel, or if you're in the Texas area, please feel free to come out to that. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to see you. And we're blessed to have that opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a good lineup. I'm excited about the 2-day capacity, and it gives options. And then that way it's not like it's just a single 2-day event for everybody. It gives you options of what you want to do on that first day. So for those that are just getting started or looking to really kind of grow their team, and they're more in its infancy, there's a perfect opportunity for that in the first day. We're adding a fun scenario, if you will, in the afternoon. That'll be a very fun simulation to kind of walk through some scenarios, and we'll do some scoring and some prizes and some different things with that. So big opportunity there in that first day, and then even opportunities to come meet us, so, and meet other speakers that will be there as well. So we do have that option out there. So Austin's a great area for those that have not traveled here before. It's certainly drivable from Dallas or San Antonio or Houston. So Texas is obviously a big state, but a lot of really good stuff here as far as things you can go see if you want to make a trip out of it and travel in for the conference for those 2 days. And then are we ready to reveal the piece for Sunday yet, James, or is that are we holding out on that surprise?
We're still working on that. We're okay. Still working on Sunday, but we do have some stuff going on around that weekend. So I'm still trying to figure out some of the details, but I will tell you that, you know, we have, and this information is on the website as well, but it will actually be held at Grace Covenant Church. And Grace has done a fantastic job. We really appreciate their hospitality of being willing to host this. And their safety director, Corey, has been phenomenal. She has done just an amazing job, her and her husband, helping us out with planning stuff and logistics and everything. And I believe Corey will actually be joining our team or Church Safety Guys team here eventually too, if I can twist her arm, but she'll be, she's not a spotlight person. She does not like being in the spotlight.
That's what I said,
which is fine. Right. But no, Corey will be actually, on the broadcast in January. So when we pick back up after we're taking a few weeks off here, we're going to pick back up and, we'll have Corey on, we'll have a bunch of new people, and really through Austin meeting them. Right. I mean, one of our sponsors is, Redemption Coffee. And, you know, they do a fantastic job with their product. You guys have heard me talk about it before. We have our own coffee blend with them now. And
don't bury the lead. That's a big deal.
Yeah, no.
That's a big change since the last time we hadn't really launched it on air. We've talked about it in the community, but
I don't have a bag sitting next to me. Otherwise I'd show you, but yeah, we have our own coffee that they roast for us. And, Steve Morwood is the owner of that. But what's crazy about it too, is that, he has a mission, he has a ministry that he's working with, and Steve is also a safety team member. So, you know, he serves in his church as a safety team member. And then, he's a veteran. I mean, he's had a numerous amount of experience. He's a great guy. He's actually been on the cast, or was part of the cast of the Chosen, the TV show, by Angel Productions. And so, you know, just an amazing testimony. And I met him, got a chance to meet him in Austin when I went down there a few weeks ago. Yep. It feels like yesterday, but it was three or four weeks. So he's going to be on, he's going to be telling, I twisted his arm. He's another person. He's like powerhouse at getting stuff done, but he doesn't like being in the spotlight. And I was like, Steve, I want you to tell your story. He has an amazing story about how God reached into his life and saved him, and just an amazing testimony. So I want him to share that with you guys. So he, in January, he's going to be on one of the training companies that is a platinum sponsor for the conference is going to be on talking about some of the things in Texas they offer. And we've got, you know, just a whole host. In fact, right now, I think I'm trying to schedule out in March of different new, brand new guests that have, you know, that we've reached out to, gotten to know, friends and folks that are in ministry that were like, hey, you know what? Can you come on the broadcast? Can you talk to folks? Can we work together? So it's been a blessing, and it's been a lot of fun to certainly get to know people and make new friends and whatnot. So you have that to look forward to in January. It'll be a pretty awesome lineup in January and February of nice. Of new episodes and that sort of thing. So, but yeah, definitely, if we can help you out in any way with the conference coming up in April, please feel free to reach out to us through our website, and we'll do the best we can to get you and your church there. Because again, that's like Mike said, there's so much new stuff and so much stuff that we're trying to put out there to help churches that, right. It's just going to be a lot of fun. Saturday is our normal full day conference. Friday, we have breakout sessions that you can pick and choose what you want to do based on, you know, your church's experience level. And there truly is something for everybody. I mean, every right. level of church. And that's what we designed it for, to be more hands-on with some of the things and really dig in. We just felt like doing the one day is great, but at the same time, if we have the option to add a second day, then we can just, be more impactful and help right. you more with your church. And, you know, we have sessions and timing to go through common opportunities and, you know, training and just different fun stuff. So I'm excited about it. I think it'll be,
yeah, it'll be good.
It'll be good.
Well, and I don't have to jump on a plane for the first time in 3 years traveling to the conference. So I'm enjoying that idea.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh my goodness. I'm learning how big it was. Funny. I have a friend that's at a pastor of a church in El Paso. Okay. So yep. I'm like, I started to invite him to the conference.
It's a long way away.
And I'm like, and then I pulled up a map and I'm like,
No.
I'm like,
I mean, he could fly. I mean, yeah. He certainly could fly like many people do. I mean, obviously yeah. St. Louis was our last, and we had folks all the way from California and all the way from the East Coast. So, I mean, it does happen. We do get folks flying every time. So, I mean, El Paso's a bunny hop flight. So
I thought it was funny. To me, it was funny because I was like, it didn't connect in my mind. Yeah. It's all in Texas, and didn't realize how far it was until I pulled up the map and I'm like, yep. Wow. Okay. That is a bit of a drive.
But interesting thing is El Paso and the going across Texas to the other side of Texas. I believe I read somewhere that it is as tall or as wide as Texas to Canada is tall. Or something like that. I may be misquoting it, but that sort of distance, or that you can get, you can get like two thirds of the country traveling outside of Texas the same amount of distance you would be traveling inside Texas.
I mean, we've driven across the country quite a few times, and driving from California to the East Coast. I drove from Los Angeles, basically Los Angeles to New Hampshire, north of Boston, in yep. one shot. And most of it was on the 40. And when you hit Texas in the 40, you know, there's a reason that there's so many songs about Texas and the roads, and I'm thinking of a George Strait song at the moment, but
oh,
I'm like, you know, when you think about it on the 40, there's nothing yeah. there for a long time.
Yep. But indeed.
Anyhow,
well, good stuff. Lot yeah. happening in 2024. We certainly had a big year here in 2023. I think it continues to kind of blow my mind, and really kind of God continues to bless and show up in so many ways on this ministry and through many of you, whether it's just you're listening to a broadcast, purchasing the resources to help support the efforts and things that we do here, or coming to a conference, driving, flying, whatever, just so many different people that have crossed our paths in 2023. We know we're going to meet even more in 2024, and just looking forward to that. It's truly a blessing and an honor and a chance to do this. I'm humbled each and every day to that I jump behind a microphone. It's I was like Corey. I don't want to be out in the limelight. I was not anticipating that. But certainly, whether it's speaking at a conference, whether it's showing up and meeting folks and I still will never get comfortable to signing my book. It still yeah. is going to throw me off, but,
that is a little crazy, but yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff coming. I think yeah. we've got some new merch that we're working on coming out,
That's right.
and having yep. that ready for the conference and just a bunch of different things. But, you know, to kind of put it in perspective, I mean, when I sat down and figured it out, we averaged in 2023, we actually averaged 600 actually responding to 600 churches in the last year. And so when you think about that, it's actually just over 600, but you think about that, you know, we're not full-time, we're not part-time. We, right. we both have full-time jobs, and you know, when a request comes in from a church, we we prioritize it and we do the best we can to get to it as soon as we can. And thankfully, you know, we have folks, you know, that are available and willing to jump in and help out. And, you know, we respond as quickly as we can and that sort of thing. But, you know, that's a lot. I mean, we get, you know, that what ends up being almost two churches a day that we talk to about either the resources or trying to help guide them through something. And in a lot of cases it's, hey, this isn't working. Can you just give, you know, give me a half an hour and, you know, that's what we do. So it has been a blessing, but certainly we couldn't do it without the love and support of you all. And we're appreciative of that. And we love the fact that we can do that on a regular basis and, absolutely. It's good stuff. So certainly a lot more to look forward to 2024. You probably want to stick around and get your conference ticket.
Yep.
And come on down to Texas. I had the opportunity a couple weeks ago to go down and hang out with Mike and his family and go through and do some sightseeing, and it was a lot of fun. I'm hoping that in April to go maybe a day early and squeeze in some San Antonio sites, but we'll
see. There's a lot here. It's all drivable.
We'll see how all of that works out. But anyhow, so we'll be off till the beginning of the year and, from live broadcasts. So, please take care of yourself, stay safe, enjoy the time with your family. And, as always, if we can help you out in any way, please feel free to do that and reach out to us through our website or through the Church Security app. And we're happy to do that where we can.
We pray God's blessings on your families this holiday season. We know that holidays can be stressful and wearing and trying at times. And many of you may have lost loved ones, and this time of the year is extra tough to go through. So we hope that you are kind of wrapped in his love and celebrate the true reason for the season. Again, thank you for your support, and Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. We will talk to you next time. Take care. God bless. Have a great holiday season.
Thank you for joining the Church Safety Guys broadcast, brought to you by Vigilant Impact. We hope that you found it informative, and we appreciate your feedback and interaction. Be sure to share our broadcast with your teams, join the discussion online, and connect with us on social media or at our website at churchsafetyguys.com. For other great ministry resources, download the Church Security app. Remember, keep a servant's heart, a mindset of ministry, and semper disciplina. Always be training. Have a blessed week.